And good morning, good morning, good morning, dear listeners. And I hope you guys have rested this past weekend, for there is the obvious long weekend that is staring us in the face at the end of this week. Technically, it's actually from Friday to Monday, that being the Easter weekend. Nonetheless, if you've made your plans, please, or if you've already put in leave already for this week, please be safe wherever you are. Don't overdo it, as always. And nonetheless, you are here on the Brand Conversation with me, Dwight, as we take a little bit further of a more in-depth discussion here on this morning session. So, last week, guys, we ended off with branding and innovation. That was for the three sessions in terms of Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That was just to give you that how branding and innovation need to work together. Now, you need to understand, guys, branding essentially forms part of your corporate communication, your advertising, your marketing, you name it. But it's everything to do with communication. It's your communication strategy. Branding is a communication strategy. Branding is a communication exercise. Now we get into the other aspects of innovation associated, not just to branding, but also into how to communicate a company even further, how to make a company that more competitive. Now, innovation and a product are key to an organization's survival and for its staying competitive. What do I mean by that? Doesn't matter what your organization sells. As mentioned, a product can be a service, a physical good, or an idea, or even an experience. A service, a physical good, an idea, or an experience. Or it can be intellectual property as well, for that matter. Now, understand this, guys. If your product stays the same template for 20 years, there is no innovation taking place. None. We need to take the most obvious of examples that we see every day. That being in the car industry. So every year, you've got the latest versions coming out from the Toyota product range, from the Ford product range, from the VW product range, from BMW to Mercedes to Audi, you name it. I can go on with the list. But every year, they come out with the latest versions. And they constantly redub them as the latest versions. In most cases, it's either just the car got a facelift, and a facelift at the back, meaning on the boot, the back and the front got facelifts. Or it was a major design change that actually changes the version of the car. For example, like you get the Golf 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, as you count those, they usually are designated with the MK number, or that MK designation. The same also for the Toyota buggies. And they are essentially product, they essentially experience product innovation at every year. Now, here's the thing with product innovation, guys. Product innovation aligns itself to the branding and innovation strategy as well that I did cover in last week's discussion. But product innovation takes a different direction. You can have something like the holding company, but the holding company has its range of sub-companies below it, and each company has its own branding, has its own corporate identity, has its own product range to work from. For example, let me give you an example like something like, what's that guy's name, the rich American? Warren Buffett. Or actually, his surname is actually Buffet. You know, if you look at the same spelling, it's Buffet. But Warren Buffett, he is what his legal term is. He's like the MD or the CEO of the investment company known as Berkshire Hathaway. Now, Berkshire Hathaway are the owners of Coca-Cola. They're the owners of McDonald's. They're the owners of, well, actually the largest shareholders. Let's say that. Of there's another company that I forgot. But it's a whole host of these conglomerates or these massive multinationals around the world, which just forms part of their investment portfolio, technically. Each of those brands, which are companies on themselves, have their own branding exercises to do. It forms part of their overall strategic exercise or overall strategic approach in terms of being, you know, competitive in the industries that they find themselves. McDonald's is a franchise organization. The same for Coca-Cola as well. And Coca-Cola, I mean, they've now signed the major, or not now, but they currently have the major, what's that called? That major advertising deal with the various World Cup platforms. I know they've got the one for soccer. I know they've got the one for rugby as well. I also know, I'm not sure about the one for cricket, because it might somehow balance or come into conflict with Pepsi Cola's people, because Pepsi Cola are the major, the majority sponsors of Pakistan, as well as also in India. It's one of the two largest industries alongside two largest markets alongside the American market, and it's just about understanding the finalities in that same sense. Now, in product innovation, guys, and with a product and innovation, how they go hand to hand, or hand to hand with each other. You've got to look at the essentials of what it is and why it matters, and also the balance of getting it right. Now, I've given you the what it is. The what it is, for example, the explanation regarding like the various updates you get every year from the car companies themselves. Now, sometimes in business, certain terms become so ubiquitous that you actually forget what they mean or why they even matter in the first place. Because I gave you branding, innovation and branding. So you would have gone like, but Dwight, that's branding. But you don't see what branding actually does. Branding is more the umbrella approach, the strategic marketing approach that takes place on the whole organization level or the entire organization level. But when you come to product is a sub brand under the overall brand of the organization. Like I mentioned, you've got, let's for example say, who's there? You've got, what company has multi? Oh, yes. Let's stick to the Coca-Cola example again. So you've got Coca-Cola. Now, Coca-Cola is the corporation. But Coca-Cola, as I mentioned, owns Fanta. It owns Sprite. It owns the Schweppes brand. It owns Bonacqua. It owns Powerade. So you can all see those various products that I've just listed to you. Now, each product needs its own innovation strategy with regards to its own, with regards to the product staying competitive. So what did that include? Well, if you guys remember a few years back, like 3-4 years back, for example, like with Bonacqua. Bonacqua came out with the wonderful strategy of color coding their sparkling water products. Did you guys remember that? The lychee, they had lychee, there was a strawberry flavor, there was a lemon flavor, but it was all color coded. So that beige labeling on the bottle would have implied that it is the lychee flavor. The pink was the strawberry. Well, a strawberry is actually not pink. It's actually red, vibrant red. Then you had the yellow was for lemon, and so it went on. It was a cool idea, similar to what Namibia Dairies does for the Oshikandela brand, and Oshikandela is a sub brand. So in that same sense, guys, you can see the strategy going ahead, the strategy being laid out. The strategy itself is you have the company, you have the products in the company, so the products themselves need their own innovation to take place. And product innovation, guys, is one of the most crucial balances that need to be, or crucial experiments sometimes, that needs to be carefully planned for. I say experiment because you can have the nightmare of what happened to Microsoft and its Windows, was it Windows Vista? Its Windows Vista product, where internationally people hated Vista. People hated Vista. Vista worked for if you had a business. Vista was so much hated that people actually went back to Windows XP and reinstalled XP on their machines. But when Windows 7 came out, Windows 7 was then, you know, the major upgrade from Vista. So in that same sense, you would see a trial and error element take place. Sometimes with product development or product innovation, a company can get they can get the recipe wrong, but it's about you so long trying to reap from the return, the investments that you've already done in terms of developing the product to make the money back. And then you come out with the latest update or an improved version of the product later on. So in that same sense, you can see sometimes the examples of what bad balances take place with product innovation. Now, in the daily scramble to keep pace with change, the most basic concepts can also get lost to trends, buzzwords, and also disruptions that capture our increasingly scattered attention. That is true, because in terms of having to observe internationally all these changes that take place around you, I mean, no one, you know, it wasn't even easy to understand that Facebook itself was trying to target TikTok in some sort of corporate, what do they call that thing? Corporate warfare, but by using, you know, politicians for that sense. No one even realized that kind of news, that kind of international news. And those things happen. And the most important thing is also to be just slightly aware of changes, because if you're someone that is highly loyal to a product or to a brand, you need to be aware of the changes in terms of how these changes implement or affect, firstly implemented, and secondly, how they affect your consumer experience. Because ultimately, guys, it's one of the major things that we don't have here in Namibia, is sort of like a consumer protection program. Now, I will leave that consumer protection program discussion for a little bit later. Because it's all about how you interact. You as a consumer, you invested money, you paid for a service, you paid for a product. So you've got to understand how the latest version of a product differs from the last version that you made use of, or that you bought into, or that you acquired, or that you bought access to. And it's those essential balances that you also need to take into consideration in terms of how, number one, cause major disruption to your everyday use, as opposed to the product experience you had before this latest version of the product. You know, those kinds of questions that you need to ask yourself. Now, in product innovation, guys, or product and innovation in that same, I split them. You have to understand, guys, I purposefully split them so that the phrase itself already exists, product innovation, but product and innovation, you have to split the two in terms of getting to what the product innovation actually tries to imply. Now, that product and innovation approach has become very murky in recent years. Very murky. I say murky. If we need to look at murkiness, the most important one is for those that are gamers, especially the guys that buy PlayStations and Xboxes. For the love of me, guys, I can follow the PlayStation product development strategy, that being that you are now currently on, I think it's the PlayStation 5. But if you had to look at the Xbox product growth or product innovation strategy, I am totally confused, because there's an S, there's a 1, there's, I don't know if there's a 2 even, or a 3 or a 5, but it's got the unfortunate thing is Xbox being a wonderful product itself. You know, itself, because PlayStation also very wonderful, but Xbox in itself has the most confusing labeling ever. ever, guys. I will say this again. It has the most confusing labeling ever. But for PlayStation, you only need to know that it says PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5, doesn't matter which one it is, whether it be a generation 1 of the PlayStation 5, meaning 2 years back model, or the latest model that came out this year of the PlayStation 5. It still is a PlayStation 5. It still is. Now, do you guys understand the murkiness that I explained to you? The one product which operates in the same market as the other has a very clear product identification approach. It says, as long as it says, I told you just now, as long as it says PS5, then you know, okay, it's the latest product offering from Sony PlayStation Corporation. But if I now had to tell you, get yourself an Xbox, you would ask me which one, because you don't know what the benefits are of the various differentialities of the Xbox Ones that are the latest version. You would not know where to go. So in essence, the one has a very murky product labeling system, and product labeling forms part of your overall branding and also your overall product innovation, because you can't say I've got one cow. If I bring in another cow, that is cow version 0.1. Everyone will tell you, no, it's the same animal. You cannot have a cow and cow version 0.1. There is no such thing. Because there is no such thing. But if you explain to people what the cow version 0.1 actually has in comparison to cow number 1, then people will understand, oh, so cow version 0.1 probably comes with mutated wings, or it has, you know, kudu horns, or it can eat grass and it can eat from trees at the same time. Sometimes you can give it some sort of artificial fodder that allows it to get a lot more bulkier, or to slim down, to become a little bit more climate resistant in terms of harsh conditions. You know, stuff like that. If you explain that. But if you come up with a very confusing product strategy, and also a very confusing product innovation strategy, it throws everyone out of the boat, unfortunately. Even myself, who tries to understand advertising concepts, advertising approaches, advertising subliminal messaging strategies. Yes, you get subliminal messaging strategies. Here in Namibia, we don't use subliminal messaging strategies, but you will find it in certain scenes, in certain spots, and in certain aspects. It is used, but not as widely as often and as widely as possible. Now, just to give you a bit of a heads up, guys, in terms of rules of engagement, from 12:30, the lines will be open for engagements, meaning you can call in here on the studio line and we can have a discussion in terms of product innovation, or if you've got any general questions with regards to innovation and products, you can come through. If you don't have the studio number, it's 083-288-401. Now, understanding this, guys, understanding innovation and products, or product and innovation combination, product innovation is defined as the development and the market introduction of a new, redesigned, or substantially improved good or service. So it has to, you know, it has to answer those three aspects: new, redesigned, or substantially improved. Now, it's not only about developing something new. We've got to understand that. And also being original in that same sense. It's also about taking what's already there and also making it much better. In other words, not everyone has to be the first to invent a driverless car, but someone has to be the first to make them better. Well, the driverless car concept has a lot of legal framework to consider. So, for our discussion for today, I will avoid driverless cars, guys, by all means necessary. I will avoid it because there are legal concepts being explored, especially in the UK, with regards to driverless cars. Now, getting into the product innovation, or product and innovation combination, you've got to ask the question in terms of why does this matter? So you will ask me, why does it matter? Why? Well, product innovation. If you're in a company that makes or creates or manufactures or processes or refines, it is essential for your product, for your company. Because you cannot continue to sell the same old thing. Well, listen. Let's be honest. If you are in the refining process, or you're in the, let's say you have to work with petroleum, or you have to work with wood, or you have to work with diamonds, or you have to work with gold, or any of those other natural resources that get extracted, I know it becomes difficult because you can't really deviate much in terms of innovation there. If it's innovation, let's say, for example, in the petroleum thing or the petroleum scope of raw materials, developing a new octane would mean that you have to go and sell this new octane. You have to pitch this idea to the car companies that build the engines, because they have to understand how their car, their engines will function on the octane that you're developing or refining or trying to develop and trying to refine. So that's, you know, one example, but it's not nothing new. It's not nothing new because the two industries are interlinked. But if you're working in the sense of like a technology company, you can innovate and you can redesign and develop as much as you can go crazy, guys. You can go crazy as long as it does not cause an inconvenience to your customer base. As long as it doesn't. Now, why this matters is because innovation.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiri rimba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunovaungure ovapuike, odhonongo, nova harupu okukuvatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa wedha ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omanao manene shimuna omaile no top run. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts, tukupa onji viro othemba, ohunga, novitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Now getting back, guys, just understanding the aspect of where I left off in terms of the, you know, the product innovation and so on. Now, product innovation is a challenge, no matter what industry you find yourself in. I say so, even if you're in the extractive one, and even although I gave you an example of one of those challenges in the extractive industries, product innovation has to take place. It's one of the fundamental survival strategies that you have as a business owner, as a company owner, as an entrepreneur. You constantly have to improve. You constantly, it's not just about yourself. It's also about your operations. It's also about the product that you bring out. Now, the road is always, always scattered and littered with detours and roadblocks. These detours and roadblocks can include crash and burn stories that are legendary. And I mentioned to you a legendary one, Microsoft Vista. Guys, if you had to go into the chat rooms or you had to hear about IT guys explaining to you how internationally hackers, people that made use of it for daily working tasks, you know, and stuff like that, and processing their jobs and, you know, functions, how people hated Microsoft Windows Vista. They hated Vista. They made memes about it. They made wallpapers about it. They hated Windows Vista. They loved XP a lot more. Also under, also in the same vein is how even a subgroup within that group of customers that did not like Windows Vista were gamers that did not like Vista as well, because it somehow created one of the major sort of like obstacles to their gaming experiences when they played games. Second under that is also Vista was, you could see it had a more business approach, because I think it's Vista that was used a lot more in, it's Vista some part of XP as well as also Windows 2000 NT that were used in retail operations in shops. Retail operations, you know, from your various chain or franchising companies here in Namibia all the way through. Now, I see there's a caller trying to get through. Let's get them in and see also what they have to add. Eagle FM, good morning.
Yes, good morning. George, how are you?
Cool and you, Uncle Bona. How are you doing?
Yes, product development.
Mm.
So it's true that you sometimes need to redesign the product to add value to that product.
Mm.
Creating the package, product package is another way of improving that product. So especially when for us, we are more on the technical thing.
Mm.
Like when we deal with this, say I'm just talking about product that we can sometimes innovate and create. A chair, for example.
Mm.
If you find out that the chair, let's say, give you an example of the, you know, those cars that people are trying to convert now into maybe ambulance and all these other things, add some kind of features there.
Yeah.
And then you now, just to make it more, to add value
to
that thing. And it's very, very important that we, and many of our people, they do that, especially when they do this handwork and things like that, crafting and things like that. We always try to make it more attractive, more appealing.
Mm.
So, but I don't know, and you know, it, at this level now of ours, I'm not so sure whether we are getting that concept. Yeah?
Well, Angabwana, the nice thing, Angabwana, is we don't have to worry about, you know, which concepts, let's say, Namibian business people can apply, because a lot of them already work on product innovation themselves, or they do a lot of innovation themselves. And you see it's sometimes wonderful examples, you know, like trying to do like awareness campaigns.
I'll ask my boy, because he did this, he was studying at the College of Art, and they did much of those product development.
Mm.
And then now he's now doing civil engineering at NASA.
Mm.
And he's always telling me about this kind of product issues, and I mean, this is modern. Modern and traditional technique of construction, and now he was telling me he really want to make sure that he come up with products, even how to build some houses using those those things that all these baboons or whatever those things that grow in the river there and all these other things.
Yeah.
So these are some of the environmentally friendly kind of product that we can use, but you need to design them and that kind of thing.
No, Uncle Paul. It's wonderful ideas, but it's also about a question of, you know, for how long, you know, will your market, or how long will your customers be able to support you in that thing? Because it's one thing being wonderful with the idea, but we've got to find the way of keeping the customers.
Even if the thing is not appealing to the customer, that's now where you now come in with the technique of redesigning and improving that type of product towards some features and attracting more, maybe the new customers, and also to sustain the loyal ones and all these other things. So, Dwight, let me go. I don't have much time.
No problem.
But all I'm saying is that I think next time we're able to add more on this kind of product development and designing them and all these other things.
Exactly. All right, Uncle Bona.
Good.
Now, as we look at that perspective, guys, and just taking in from, you know, just what was now shared in terms of this discussion, with product innovation, guys, it can be anything. It can also be that you have a wonderful idea about someone else's product, or even about someone else's strategy. It's not about, like mentioned, you trying to develop something novel out of the blue, something new. Sure, even like I said, one time in last year, I also mentioned it. You know, I've got 10,000 companies here in my little brain here, but it's a matter of bringing them to life, getting them up and going. How? How do you get that? How do you do that part? Now, besides that element, where we left off with our discussion in terms of on the demand side. Now, so far we've only been concentrating on the company side, the development side. So the company is in charge of that development aspect in product innovation and development. On the opposite spectrum, you've got your customer base or the market. The market also includes various other stakeholders. I know I am blending a lot of public relations talk in our discussion, guys, but you have to, you know, you've got to stay with me. Now, on the demand side or on the market side, because your competitors will also see what you are selling to your market or to your customers, the demand side, you've got to look at consumer choice. And this is essential because more than ever before, consumers can also be spurred by a multitude, or meaning their choice, their desired choice of product can also be sort of like motivated by various digital channels that they see your products on, which also results in constantly changing customer expectations. Now, the worst thing, guys, is not being aware of customer changes or customer expectations or changing customer expectations. Especially if you're a company that produces products. Why I say this, if you guys have ever seen on various websites, you go on various websites and they will say, tell you there at the bottom, tell us how your experience was with our platform, or tell us what you think about our consultants, or tell us what you think about your experience here. X, Y, it just stays like that. You know, that kind of language is always, you know, detailed within the platform that you interacted with. Now, we have to understand most of that is developed from South Africa. Not in all cases is it developed here in Namibia. There is a company here, one or two companies here in Namibia that do such, you know, that have such software elements in terms of gauging with users or user experiences on digital platforms. But we've got to understand before we hit in that aspect, you know, how will it essentially help us? How will that part help you better improve on a product or on a customer query? Stuff like that. Customer queries are easy to handle. I've worked in customer service before. Customer queries are easy to handle. It's the thing of customer expectation. Because a customer would ask you, so you guys have stayed the same image, the same corporate colors for the past 10 years. You've not gone up or down. You've not changed or enlightened or had new designs. What's up? How do you answer that question if, you know, you didn't address that kind of thing? And I'm just talking about a branding question. I'm not yet on the product question yet, where the customer might tell you, yeah, you know what, the look and feel is the same as like when I was a five-year-old kid when my dad told me, you know, make use of the product that he bought. And that's how I was first introduced to the product. And then, you know, it goes like that and that. Now, that's all qualitative information. Now, if you had to sort of like put a nominal scale to that qualitative and you said from selecting where one is very bad and 10 is very good experience, select how you felt about interacting with our product. If that person puts it at a 4, you really got to ask them, why is it at a 4? What can we change? And that is another thing to deal with. However, if you as a company decide to have I want to call it a calendar, but I want to put it more in like a technical term. Let's say if you've got a time scale or time frame for product innovation. Nah. Product innovation in that same sense, you will be able, if you have the calendar, you'll be able to share with your customers updates that will come. The most important thing that I've seen in terms of like in movies, and I've had this on my weekend discussions, the, you know, the my Sunday take discussions in terms of the movie industry. I've had that in terms of like the experience, for example, where a movie was created, but they have test showings. So they finish the product, then they provide a test showing, but like they provide like five to get various kinds of audience members in on it. Ne? And then they gauge how do they feel about the story and what do they think can still be changed in terms of the movie. And then that movie house will go back, adapt it where it is possible to those recommendations, which is actually criticism, but it's also recommend. It's constructive. We have to put it in that label as well. And they go and adapt it to that cause or to those sentiments that were provided. Now that's when you test, see what the responses are, and then you correct, and then you mass release or you mass distribute it. Now it is an expensive exercise, guys. If you do it that way, it is expensive, but it also allows you to actually reap the rewards on a bigger scale. Second on that is also when you see like activation programs taking place. An activation program is where you would see, you know, a gazebo, a corporate gazebo somewhere with people with music. They've got the company's t-shirts on and they're either trying to, engage with the broader consumer market out there. Now that in straightforward sales terms is known as hard selling. It's an activation, but it's hard selling. Hard selling, guys, is backbreaking work. It's backbreaking work. You've got to paste a smile on your face 24/7 for that whole day that you're in the sun under that gazebo or in the wind.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, getting back from that short break, guys. Now, when you see activations happen, activations are first and foremost there to bring awareness, create awareness, generate some sort of reaction from a market. But it's a form of advertising. And activations are actually hard selling. Now, activations take place, guys, usually when there's no product innovation taking place on the other end. Usually. And that means that there's a drop in sales. It's actually a drop in sales that takes place when you have activations because you're trying to resuscitate sales. Now, that's a different approach. I can go into all that technicality, but with activations in Namibia, they don't actually serve the right purpose. An activation is used when you bring in a new product or when you do innovation on a product. For example, you have a facelift of a car. Now, a facelift of a car is something that you should have an activation on. So if you've got a car company, you manufacture your own cars in Namibia. Let's say it's known as Springbok Cars. They operate out of Mariental. They build the cars there. The factory is there. Everything is there. Springbok Cars, you know, they make an all-purpose car. The car can load things. It has 4x4 capabilities. It can ride. It can move on both gravel and on tarred roads, but it doesn't have any airbags, and it has the steering experience of, if you guys remember the city Golfs, it has got that type of steering. It doesn't even have power steering, but everything else is there. It is a pretty affordable product on the market, and it provides you with just that other type of driving experience. Now, in that same sense, if you've got a car like that, what would you do? Your first activation would be test drives. So the test drives would have people coming to you, or you would invite people for, you know, to come and test drive the car, or, you know, versions of the first cars, the first batch of manufacturing, and there they go. Then you gauge with them. How did you guys feel? And that's how your product innovation is also incorporated within that activation exercise. So you see guys, with product innovation, you've got to be very, very careful how you're going to do it and how you're going to use the responses that you get from stakeholders or the market. Now, second one of that is, heading with the classic legendary crash and burn stories that I touched on, which was that Windows Vista one. You also had bad reactions coming to even car companies in the world, or even here in Namibia, various retail brands that were taken out from the, from stores. You don't even see them in Namibia anymore. If you guys remember Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper was one of those Coca-Cola brands. I don't see it now gets imported into various shops here in Namibia, but Dr. Pepper was at a stage in 2000, I think it's 2000 or 1999 that it was introduced in Namibia. And I was still on high school. That product was taken out of Namibia. Now that is one of those brand innovation, sort of like penetration strategies here in Namibia. And it was totally just changed. Now, a lot of companies, guys, also walk, although a company is made out of a collective of people, a company also has the fear of failure that can hang over them. And the fear of failure for a company is worse, for example, if you're a politician. Because everyone will tell you, it's so easy, especially when people have to pay for a service or product. They will tell you, that Springbok Cars that Dwight is the CEO of, that car company, they don't even have service products or products that you can, machine products that you can interchange with the engine parts and stuff like that. But if I told you at the beginning, or I had a very bad very poorly constructed marketing campaign that didn't stress that the car's engine actually can last you like 50,000 kilometers before your first service or before it can actually break down, then, it was a mistake on my side. It was my fault. It was my mistake, more my company's mistake. So in that same sense, the company has a handful of fears within that general fear in terms of why a new product innovation matters. They've got a whole range of fears within the general fear of failure. Meaning your marketing campaign can be the major thing that can cause damage to the brand. Or the product is just not well received. Or your product is viewed as a copycat of another product that already exists and people would see it. Usually, if it is a copycat strategy that a company has in terms of manufacturing or service provision, they would clearly say, we provide a similar service. We provide a service. We are part of this industry. Then you go like, for example, like insurance companies. The insurance companies are technically carbon copies of each other. It just depends on who has the best labeling or who has the best corporate image. If you're green, if you're sky blue, if you're red, royal red, or if you're purple and green, those kinds of color coordinations. Those kinds. Now, in that general fear that a company has when they are busy with their product innovation, you should cover all your bases. It's something that is not mentioned easily in any literature that I've looked at. They don't mention it easily, but you've got to cover your bases so that you have contingency plans in order. Do you guys know how important a contingency plan is with regards to product innovation? If something goes bad, you should have the resources first and foremost to try and correct it. In a car, for example, you guys have heard of the airbags having faults. Honda across the world has had the Toccata issue, or the Toccata airbag issue, which also affected Nissan, Toyota, Mitsubishi. What's the other one's name? Suzuki as well. All those guys that are car companies that have, all those Japanese car companies that buy from this airbag manufacturer known as Takata. Because what has been found out is that the airbag might not activate in an accident, or the airbag might activate when it's not actually an accident, but it's just like a small fender bender, you know, just you accidentally bumping into the bumper of the guy in front of you without you paying attention, you know, to your lead distance. Stuff like that. Then the airbag activates. And then they've got to have airbag recalls and stuff like that. Now remember this, guys. That is one company selling a service and a product to another company. So obviously they would have there an MOU in terms of understanding who has to refund who money and who has to carry the cost of refitting or correcting this manufacturing issue. But if you're now a company that has your own product, you're in charge of everything, your inputs in order to generate your output, which is the final product, the onus is squarely on that organization. Squarely. So you've got to have your bases covered. If you're going to implement product innovation, you've got to have your bases covered in terms of contingency plans, as well as also the strategies on terms of correcting it. The public relations side of things will be easy to handle. They are always the easiest because it's a communication strategy. But if you've got a physical product to work with, imagine you're a crop farmer. Ne? You grow tomatoes. Now, your tomatoes were spoiled. You made a promise of delivering X quantity of tomatoes for this season. Let's, for example, say to a middle person. This middle person sells it further on to the various retail franchises in Namibia. And you didn't know that there was actually an outbreak of a specific type of parasite in your tomato crop. You didn't realize this. Because you also didn't hear from the other crop farmers next to you. They didn't pick up on these small signs and stuff like that. And you just harvested, packaged, and shipped off. Now, those tomatoes actually become spoiled within 3 days of storage, where they're actually supposed to be, you know, they can only be considered spoiled 3 weeks from now. Then all those guys that bought from the middleman would ask the middleman would turn to you and it'll ask you, Dwight, but you said your tomatoes will only over-ripen or get ripe 3 weeks from now. What happened here? What's up with your tomatoes? Is there something that happened on your harvest? Did you pick up on any kinds of parasites or stuff like that? You know, that kind of question will be asked. And it will impact a chain of supply and distribution greatly. Because if you had 5 suppliers of tomatoes, now you take out 2 guys who sit with this type of parasitic problem, the strain is then placed on the other three suppliers, and those 3 suppliers will then automatically implement, you know, an increase, because it now becomes a scarcity. The product has now become a scarcity, this tomato. Because those other 3 guys were planning on trying to sell to their other channels of distribution in order to get the tomato into the market, or even to export market, because they usually work on that balance of providing surplus for export purposes as well as also local supply. But now, since there's now a major strain in supply locally, they might be embargoed by, for example, let's say the Agricultural Union of Namibia, the NAU guys. They might be placed on an embargo, told, no, you first sell internally before you start selling outside. So first repurpose all your harvest internally. So now they face something like this, and it's their product. It's their product. They own it. They own the tomato. They grow the tomato. It's their cost of production. They own the whole process. Now, in that same sense, guys, those two farmers that I mentioned, for in the example of, you know, a parasite spoiling the harvest, those two guys would then have to refund, plus also have to give out, what do they call that thing? They would then have extra costs in terms of the next harvest season, because now they'll have to work on the thing of extra, what do they call it? Those chemicals for parasites. Try and work on that. They'll have to ensure that this parasite is brought under control, because they don't know yet how it will impact their other crops if they want to expand their crop cultivation, capacity. And, you know, all the fears go on. The fears go on in that same sense. Now, I know we've only got a minute and a half left, guys, but we will still be continuing with the importance of product innovation for tomorrow, because we've got four excellent strategies that form within that product innovation discussion. And just to touch on them and highlight them before we end off for today is expansion, competition, customer retention, and talent acquisition. But on that note, stay tuned as the On The Radar team will be ready and to follow right after the ad break that we will have at the top of the hour of 1 o'clock. We will see each other again later tonight as well here on the number one talk radio station of Eagle FM on the business and economic segment. So stay tuned as we will be hit as I will have a different hat on at that stage. At this time junction or in this junction in time, also remember, guys, to touch base with us on our social media platforms. Also, touch base there if you want to watch us in terms of our engagements with you, our listeners and viewers out there. And for that matter, let's see each other to later tonight.
On The Radar is proudly brought to you by Global Parts Namibia. Global Parts, global reach for best local prices and advice.
On The Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most